I'll tell you why he might go to Ferrari. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It felt forward, it felt fresh, it felt exciting.
If they're a kilo overweight, that's 0.3 a lap that they lose. Like, women are smaller, generally, just biologically, right? So couldn't it be an advantage to have a woman in a Formula One car?
Did you hear they're extending free practice by half an hour? So it's going to be 90 minutes.
I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton's going to win Miami, and why not? Welcome back to Away We Go podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Away We Go podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, and today I'm in Margaret River, and she's back. I'm joined by the lovely Kira Gillen from Formula Live Polls. Hi, Kira.
So happy to be back.
Welcome back, Kira. It's good to see you again. And where in the world can we find you today?
I am back in Berlin. I'm in Berlin today. Yeah. So actually, it's quite nice here. Well, it's a little bit overcast today, but spring is coming slowly but surely. So it's lovely. Yeah.
Nice. Here we are back 1 week to go. Well, less than a week, actually, before racing again. Oh, it's been a long break.
Doesn't it? It has. It's felt really long. Yeah. Was it 5 weeks? So I can't wait for Miami. Really excited. Actually, did you hear they're extending free practice by half an hour? So it's going to be 90 minutes instead of an hour.
That's great. I mean, I suppose, you know, because so many teams are bringing upgrades to Miami, right? So that'd be awesome for them to be able to shake the car down, I guess, and just test all the different setups and things. Oh, I didn't hear. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, because I had forgotten that Miami and Canada are both sprint weekends. Like, how crazy is that, that their first 2 weekends back after a huge break are sprint weekends? So I think it is a good thing to extend it out and then give them a bit more time, definitely. And also because, as you mentioned, bringing upgrades.
So don't forget, if you're putting in your predictions on awaywegopodcast.com and also if you're playing along on Formula Live Pulse's race prediction game, don't forget to put your predictions in for the sprint as well as the race. So you might need to scroll down a little bit just to see it, but don't forget. Yeah, I can't wait. Honestly, what have you been doing these last 5 weeks?
We have been busy. We did some updates to the app. So we launched now in the post session, you can look at the super clipping, because obviously that's been a really big thing this year. You can measure the speed loss for under full throttle for each driver and how long it lasts, which is really exciting because it's been such a huge thing, obviously, during the races. And then we've also brought in lift and coast as well, kind of stats telemetry as well, both post-race. So you can analyze how long each driver lifts off the throttle without braking. So again, huge things that have kind of really been prevalent at the start of the season. So that's exciting. And yeah, and what else? We went to Imola as well. We went to WEC, to the 6 hours of Imola. So that was really cool. It was my first time going to Imola, and it was my first time seeing WEC live. It was very exciting. I think they had nearly 100,000 people there. So yeah, it was a really great. So last year, I think they had 75,000, and this year they've increased. I mean, obviously Ferrari is a huge reason for them to, like, for the Italians, obviously, to be going there. But it was great. You know, we were able to get paddock access because the tickets are much more affordable. Yeah, right. So that was really cool. So we got to, you know, good. Like, I've never been in a paddock before. And so it was great to be in, knowing that this is also a Formula One track, obviously not anymore, but to get to see the pit lane and everything. So it was great. And yeah, it was a really fun weekend, you know.
WEC is the World Endurance Championship, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I don't really know anything about WEC except it's the World Endurance Championship.
Oh, so I can tell you. I can tell you.
Yeah, give us a quick overview.
Okay. So in this particular race, there are two different cars. So there's the hypercar and then there's the GT3. And so I'm going to say the hypercar is a single seater. And I mean, the GT3 also is just one person, but I, don't know if it's a single seat or if there's two seats. There's a lot of the brands that you know. So like Ferrari are there, McLaren. You think McLaren have just joined. And oh my God, let me think. Aston Martin is there. Oh, now I'm putting myself on the spot by mentioning all the brands. So they do free practice, the same as Formula One. They do free practice sessions on the Friday. Then they have a quali on the Saturday. So the difference with WEC is that they all race together. So they do a quali for a certain amount of time, but then the top 10 go into what's called the Hyper Bowl, and then they get their quali times, quali lap times that way. And so they separate it out. You've got the Hyper Car quali, Hyper Bowl, then you've got the GT3 quali, Hyper Bowl. That's all on Saturday. And then Sunday's the big race, and it's 6 hours. And so, yeah, it's endurance. And so there's usually, I think, three drivers per team, and they swap it around. Yeah. Gosh.
Well, that sounds like it'd be pretty exciting to go to. And Imola itself, before we jumped on, you said that you stayed in Bologna. How far is Bologna, which is a major city, the first university ever, I think, is in Bologna. I think that's the right stat. Mm-hmm. So how far is it from Bologna to Imola?
Yeah, by train, it's only 20 minutes. Like you can get trains. So there's thankfully quite a few trains going to Imola, and some... Like we found that when we went there, we were getting direct trains, but maybe on the way back, you might end up getting like a train that stops at a few other stations, but it's usually kind of half an hour, 30 minutes. Yeah, so it's pretty easy. And then it's about a 20 minute walk to the track, but you're walking through the town of Imola, which is just fabulous. It's just the cutest little town. You've been, right? Yeah.
Not so to Imola. No, I've been to Bologna. And Modena. I've been to Modena 3 times. Love Modena, which is also accessible to Imola, and an option to stay if you were going to Imola. But no, I didn't get to Imola itself, no.
Yeah. Oh, I have to say, I would really recommend it. Like, it is such a cute town. People are lovely, very friendly. There's like, it just seems very well kept and, you know, I don't want to say polished, but it just is very cute. Lots of lovely bars and restaurants and very picturesque, you know. Bologna is very nice, but it took us a little bit to settle in. It's quite chaotic. It feels a little bit like not as nurtured as Imola is, you know. And also they were redoing the tram. They were not redoing, they were inserting a tram line. So the city is quite chaotic. But they're interesting, you know. But I would definitely recommend Imola to go see. I think staying there during WEC or previously during Formula One is very expensive. And that's why we didn't stay there. But Bologna is quite affordable.
And if it's anything like Modena, medieval town, old town, it's just beautiful, and there's great markets, there's fantastic restaurants, like the food in Bologna and Emilia Romagna, that region, like it's known, they say it's the best food in Italy. Every region says it's the best food in Italy, but Bologna is, I remember it being quite a big city and a big university town, so just students and young people everywhere. And if there's roadworks and disruptions going on with like tram lines being put in, I can imagine it would just be even busier. But it's famous for the porticos, right? So you can walk all through Bologna without getting wet because it rains so much there. So that's...
I know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. We were very blessed because I have to say I wanted to go to Imola. And again, when it was racing for Formula One, I really wanted to go. But I don't like the rain. Despite being Irish, I really don't like the rain. And so I was really nervous of going and being like, oh my God, we're going to be sitting in the freezing cold in the rain. Because Simone actually went to a race. Yeah, right. In 2022, I think it was. And it just lashed. It lashed and lashed and lashed. And there's photos of him and his pal. And they're just like in those white little see-through things, you know. Anyway, but we were blessed. There was sun all shining through the skies. It did rain on the Sunday. It did rain on the Sunday in Italy. But no, we were very lucky. But I didn't realise that you could go through. I knew that there was gates. There's these fabulous old gates that show kind of the history of the town and everything that's still there, which I just find so poetic and kind of, what's the word, like it's quite a romantic town as well, you know, like just seeing the structure and everything. And the last thing I'll say is that one of the things that really helped me settle there was the fact that it's so buzzy. There are loads of students, there are loads of people, there's loads of different age groups as well. It is just a vibrant city, Bologna, that people are out and about and enjoying themselves, and that was really nice.
It really is. I went to Italian school there, like the 2 weeks of learning Italian like an adult Italian, and I was on my own, and the Italian school organized a kind of a billet system where you stay with someone. So I stayed with this woman who had this big posh apartment right in the center of Bologna. Like, she was a lawyer, and I think that was her family's building or something. She had all these spare rooms. So, yeah, I stayed there for a couple of weeks. She wasn't overly friendly. I will say that, like, you know, you're allowed to use the kitchen between this time and that time, but, you know, either way. Oof. But, you know, okay, who's going to cook when you're in Italy? You just go down the road and eat, right? It was, yes, but I really like that part of Italy. It's, and Bologna and Modena. Modena is Auto Valley, Moto Valley. It's where Ferrari is, Lamborghini, Maserati, Ducati, and there's others that all have factories there in the vicinity of Modena. Yeah. Also, Bologna Modena is home to balsamic vinegar. Traditional balsamic vinegar comes from there. Parmesan cheese. Yes. Like the, I've been to a Parmesan cheese house and stood in, like, I just had, there were 33,000 wheels of Parmesan cheese in this room, like massive wheels just piled up to the ceiling. It was something else. And it was just, you know, these ones are aged 24 months. These ones are aged 48 months. Like, it was just incredible. The balsamic vinegar is also incredible how they make that. It just takes years. Like, I'm talking like 12 years to make it properly. It's, and which is not so expensive. Like, the proper stuff you get from there.
There's
so much to see in that little pocket of Italy. If you're looking for a holiday in Italy and you're like, oh, I want to go somewhere different, I've done Rome, Venice, Florence, you know, done Tuscany, definitely, like, around Bologna, you know, it sounds like staying in Imola on a non-race weekend would be really awesome. But Modena is smaller than Bologna. It's really cute, very easy to do tours and, you know, day trips from there. The Ferrari factory, Enzo Ferrari's house, is like, it's literally, you walk out of the train station, it's just a short walk. You can, it's just right there. And then to get to the Ferrari factory, that's a shuttle bus, which is included if you buy a ticket to both places. Highly recommend. Yes, I've been twice to the Ferrari factories. It's awesome.
Yeah, wow.
Highly rated.
Yeah.
Highly, highly rated. Yeah, speaking of Ferrari, rumors. Andrea Stella has been rumored to be leaving McLaren to go to Ferrari. And he used to work for Ferrari many years ago. Yeah, to replace Fred Vasseur. All rumors, all conjecture.
It's funny, I was thinking about it last night, like, and I was like, where did these rumors start? And I always do think that there's truth to a rumor, you know? When you really break it down, though, why would Stella go back to Ferrari? You know, I mean, he's doing such great things in McLaren. He's having great opportunities. He's now going to have Lombardi coming in, you know, to support him. Like, it just would be a fool's, like, the biggest mistake in your career, I think. I mean, as much as I love Ferrari, don't get me wrong, but there is, I don't know.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why he might go to Ferrari. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Like, you know, like, if they've got the money, why wouldn't you? And I mean, you know, like,
of course, I'm so naive. I'm like, but why would he go?
I mean, could you imagine working with Zac Brown every day? I mean, oh my God, yeah, I think it would just intense. Do my head in. I mean, like, I don't.
Yeah.
I think he's quite a jovial kind of character a lot of the time, but something about him behind that facade, I think, you know, to be where he is and to be as successful as he is, he would have to have some ruthlessness there. And I'm sure,
100%.
So I don't know. I mean, not to say that that doesn't exist in Ferrari, I'm 100% certain in that. It does as well, but yeah. And, you know, Andrea Stella, like, he's worked there before, like, he might prefer to live in Italy. Who knows, you know? And yeah, like I said, the money. So,
no, I know.
Yeah, but you did say Lembiasi, GP Lembiasi, which is Max Verstappen's race engineer. They've had a long standing partnership together. They've been very successful together. So he's announced that he's leaving Red Bull at the end of 2027. So that's the end of next year. I mean, that is more than 18 months' notice. And this is what I don't understand, is why does he have to give such a long notice period? And he's going to McLaren.
Because I was wondering about that as well. Because they have garden leave, right? So they have to have a period of time where they can't work for the other team before they start. I don't think he's going to be with Red Bull for the whole of 2027. It wouldn't make sense that he's with them for the whole of 2027 and then goes into McLaren the start of 2028. He has to have garden leave. Like, Adrian Newey had, like, I'm going to say 12 months, but it was something long. I was reading last night that I do think he'll probably come in to McLaren earlier than 2028, just depending on his garden leave. That's a really impressive move. Like, that is a really, to go from race engineer to now, what's it, the chief technical officer
with the view of being TP, with team principal, which means that Andrea Stella will be out of a job if that happens. Eventually, it might be like 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. So maybe that's why Andrea Stella's looking at Ferrari, if the rumours are true. It is rumours. Yeah. Let's just be clear about that. But GP leaving Red Bull is fact. That's been announced. But what does that mean for Max Verstappen? Has Max already got an exit plan from Red Bull? Because he's been quoted in the past saying, as soon as GP leaves, I'm gone. So,
yeah, I mean, look, what do I know? I mean, obviously, okay, so I read that, you know, Max had given him his blessing. I personally think that might be just for the press. I personally think that Max probably said, hey, listen, I'm out of here by this point. You know, like, I do feel like Max is already making his decisions. I don't think Max is sitting around waiting to see what's going to happen with Red Bull. I think Max is probably going to leave. Now, maybe he won't leave before GP, maybe he'll leave afterwards, but I do think Max is probably going to leave because he's done everything he can. And as much as I hate to say this, everybody's painting the fact that, you know, with Christian Horner gone, that Red Bull is not the same that it was. And, you know, I don't think it's true, because I think if you look at how impressive they were, they went through a terrible time last year and they pulled it together and they nearly won the championship. So I don't think you can write them off. They've had a rough start to the start of the season, but so have a lot of teams. You know what I mean? But I do think Max is extremely, he doesn't seem to be the type of person who's like, oh, we're having a rough time, I'm just going to ride the wave and find my way through this. He doesn't seem to be enjoying himself if he's not winning, which I think is crazy.
And I think that's the key, is that Max does not seem to be enjoying himself this season. Last season, I think he was enjoying himself in the second half because, like you said, they did bounce back and he was getting results and he was chasing Lando and he almost caught him. It was 2 points in it at the end. It was such an exciting end to the season. And Max really, you could see that he loved that, you know, and loved getting the results. And we've only had 3 races this season, right? But Red Bull look like they're imploding. You know, so many people, key people have left in recent times. You know, since the owner of Red Bull passed away, they've had Christian Horner, obviously, Jonathan Wheatley, they've had the head of communications leave. Adrian Newey left as well. So there's been so many people that have just departed. Yeah. And Max has said in the media in the past that, you know, who cares when you're 80, how many world championships you've won, whether you've won 4 or whether you've won 14. No one, who's going to care? Like, I've already won 4. I've done everything, you know. So he might very well want to race. I mean, he's already racing in other series, right? So he might want to go and who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. But
he's an interesting one. He is an interesting one. I have to say, though, I do find it a little disappointing that, like, you know, because I like Max when he's not winning.
I think a lot of people do.
Well, I don't like watching anybody dominate. Like, I find it boring. And I mean, unless obviously I love the person, but even then I think my little heart would get bored. I like to see challenges. I like to know that there's going to be ups and downs and things aren't just a walk in the park. And for watching him in 2023, it just was like, he wasn't even happy. Like, he claims, you know, it was like, oh, that was a lovely one, aren't they? You know, they were just washing off him. It was so predictable for him. It wasn't a challenge. So for me, I've enjoyed watching him go, oh, this has been a challenge. This has been difficult. Oh, okay, we improved here. Oh, we didn't get the results we expected here, et cetera, et cetera. So then to hear him kind of be like, I'm not happy. He didn't say it this way, but it's like, I'm not happy unless I'm winning, which I guess all drivers are not happy unless they're winning. But if you look at all the other ones, they've all had to, you know, really make it work and work with the challenges and understand the difficulties in the teams and try and improve. Like, look at Charles. Like, Charles should have won a championship at this point. That poor guy is probably going to finish his career without having won a championship. And yet he comes with a bright smile, positivity in every race, you know, with the most humble kind of, you know, personality. So it disappoints me that Max is kind of not looking at going, you know what, this is actually a challenge. How do I get Red Bull back to winning ways? Now, initially, he hasn't said he's leaving, but, you know, so that's my only thought.
I feel like with Max. The writing's on the wall and it's just a matter of time.
But where will he go? This is the question.
I think he'd leave F1. I don't think he would. I don't know. He'd go to another team.
The rumors are that he will go, you know, I mean, the rumors are like, but that Mercedes, he'll go to Mercedes. But what does that mean in Mercedes? So it's just interesting, you know, who's getting the boot?
It'll be George Russell. how could Max and George Russell be teammates? That's never going to work. In a million Sundays, that's never going to work.
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Or replacing Lewis in Ferrari.
I think, like, if JP is going to McLaren, maybe Max will go to McLaren. Oscar might go to Ferrari and replace Lewis if Lewis retires. Or maybe Kimi Antonelli might go to Ferrari and then Oscar will go to Mercedes. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's chess, isn't it? We're just moving drivers around a chessboard, really.
But... yeah. The one thing I wonder is that, like, so you know the way Alonso is like the bridge burner, you know what I mean? In the past, he's done all these crazy moves and he's gone somewhere and you're like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. I couldn't see. Do you think any of the other drivers are as ruthless as that? Because in my head, I'm like, no way, Kimi will not leave Mercedes because they gave him his start and they're like, you know, they are possibly obviously a winning team. They won with, you know, Lewis, and he could be the next Lewis. But then a part of me is like, well, is he ruthless enough? Like the same with Oscar. Like I wouldn't leave McLaren to go to Ferrari again, as much as I love Ferrari, but until Ferrari can show me that they actually consistently can win, I wouldn't leave. So I'm just, but if people are ruthless enough and the money and, you know what I mean? You're right. Like, so I'm just curious who you think. Who's the next Alonso?
I don't know. Look, to make it in Formula One, I think everyone in Formula One needs to have some sort of ruthlessness. You know, the thing.
Yeah, right.
Except Lando Norris probably won't admit it because, you know, he's done things his way and risen to the top being Mr. Nice Guy. So he says. I don't know. With Mercedes, I think it's going to depend on results. If Kimi Antonelli keeps on an even keel with George Russell, if I was Toto Wolff looking at those two drivers, be like, I'm choosing Kimi. He's as good as George. He's got way more years ahead of him. Yeah, so if the results seem consistent between those two, that's what I would be doing you know, see you later, George Russell. So I don't know.
Yeah.
All conjecture.
So, I know. I love it. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. But other rumours in Formula One that I've heard is that Saudi Arabia is going to be reinstated. Ooh. Slotted ahead of Abu Dhabi at the end of the season, and Abu Dhabi shifted by a week, which, God, if you're an event organiser, I know we're only at the beginning of May, like that, but even then, like that is just such a total ball ache for the organisers. It's Abu Grand Prix, having to change everything. And then, you know, you've got, just think about it, you've got all these cruises that go to the Middle East to watch the Middle Eastern races. So they're going to have to change all of their itineraries and everything to be able to take in a new Abu Dhabi date, potentially, if this happens. Nothing's been formally announced yet, but that rumour's been circulating. Like, we've both heard it. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this is all assuming things in Iran have settled or stopped, you know, because if they haven't, we could be looking at two cancelled races. You know, we've got Qatar and Abu Dhabi at the end of the season. So, but I agree. Yeah, it seems like a huge, huge workaround. And obviously with the heat, they have to be very careful. And they're not going to make Saudi Arabia the last race, right? Because it's always going to be Abu Dhabi and that's the way it is. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a very huge logistical.
Yeah, totally.
But again, money.
Yeah, I know. Money talks and we know where the money is in this world and it's in the Middle East. But in bright news, awesome news, inspiring news, Formula One Academy champion Dorian Punn drove a Formula One car, the Mercedes in recent times, the first female in an F1 car for a really long time. First woman ever to drive a Mercedes Formula One car. And how good was it to see that happen?
God, it's so good. It's so good. Oh, I'm so delighted for her. I have so much time for her. I'm so excited for her. It felt forward. It felt fresh. It felt exciting. You know, I know it's still a long jump and there's lots of things I've been hearing recently about, you know, the F1 Academy, et cetera. I've seen Mercedes put their money where their mouth is and getting her in that car and not really beating around the bush about it is brilliant. So delighted, really delighted.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And she did 76 laps. This wasn't a 10, 15 lap press stunt. Like this was a proper, you know, like proper go.
Yeah.
And I just think it's just absolutely brilliant. I did love all the content around that as well. You know, the video of Susie Wolf talking to her about it beforehand. And yeah, it really did make my heart swell. I loved it.
I think so too. And I think she's really exciting. And she's actually going to be racing in Le Mans, I think. And as we know, she's a development driver for Mercedes. I think it's really good. It just kind of really makes me wonder, though, you know, like the gulf between F1 Academy and you know, Formula One is still pretty huge. And I just don't understand it. But again, this could be a whole podcast episode. So, you know, but like I'm just glad to see her in. And as you said, she did 76 laps. And it's just like, obviously, it was a closed session. I don't know a huge amount about what the kind of timings were like, but it was their, it's their fastest car that she drove in, you know what I mean? So it's not like they put her in an F3 or F2 car. Like it's, you know, Formula One car, it's a winning car. So I just hope it helps move things forward, you know? If it's just a little bit frustrating, it does feel a little bit slow. So I just really, you know, getting that first woman into Formula One, it just feels that there's still a huge gulf there.
Yeah, it does still feel like it's miles and miles away. And I agree with you that there is a massive difference between, you know, F1 Academy and even Formula 2, like let alone Formula 1. And, you know, but I guess they've got to start somewhere, right? So
this is this.
It's a good thing and we are all for it. But yes, it would be good to be able to see those drivers graduate from Formula One Academy into, you know, F4, F3, F2, and one day in the not too distant future, it'd be amazing to have a woman on the F1 grid fighting against other drivers. It shouldn't even be a female driver. It's just a driver fighting other drivers. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, 100%.
I also think, you know, you hear drivers talk about all the time, like their own weight, like if they're a kilo overweight, that's 3/10 a lap that they lose. Like women are smaller, generally, just biologically, right? So why couldn't it be an advantage to have a woman in a Formula One car? Like if they had the strength, if they had the endurance to withstand those G-forces, which of course is going to take a lot of time, you know, practice and training and sessions in the car. I don't see that as something that's unachievable, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, not that I'm into horse racing. I'm not at all. But female jockeys in horse racing win Australia's biggest, richest race. They've done that multiple times now. So why not? They are smaller, they're lighter, and they can do the job.
Yeah. I have the same questions. And I know that there will be people out there going, well, because of this and that and whatever else. But I just think, you know, we're in 2026 and I just don't think it's good enough anymore. I think the cars in F1 Academy shouldn't be F4 cars. They should be F3 cars at minimum. I think, or there should be another, like, I mean, obviously they have to start somewhere. I get it. But there should be conversations now about, okay, how do we move the needle further? Exactly. How do we create a second one? Where do they go next? And it's not that these women don't have opportunities, because you can see that they are going in and they're all racing. I follow a lot of them. And it is exciting, but it's like there needs to be a bigger step forward. I hope I don't sound stupid, but like, why can't it just be a case of training and, you know, and practice? And like, if a man can do it from the age of 12, or once McLaren just signed a kid of the age of 12 into the development program or something, or maybe he's 9, actually. I think he's younger even. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? There's no reason. There really is no reason. And I just think I just think that the comments of previous years are not, they don't stand up anymore. So
I feel like there can be a better pathway for F1 Academy drivers. Like, yes, they're in F1 Academy and then maybe they have F1 Academy Ultra or F1 Academy Tier 2 or whatever they want to call it. That is F2 cars or F3 cars and have that progression. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. But I just want to say, if you're on TikTok, come at me and I'm ready. I'm ready for your comments. So the comments on TikTok, fair dinkum.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. And look, the thing to say is Sophia Florish raced in, I'm going to say F3. I'm not a historian, so I don't have all the previous stuff. So there have been women racing in, I don't think she was in F2. I think she was in F3. And she's no longer there now, for whatever reason. I don't know the ins and outs of it. But I do guess that it's not just a case of like, you know, just throwing a woman in and that's it. I get it. I get that there's training. I get that there's endurance. I get that it's a different beast. I can see it even in the men, you know, just because you've been in F3 doesn't mean you can handle F2, doesn't mean you can handle Formula One. So I do get it. Because the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I did hear that people were saying, oh, I don't know how long more we're going to have F1 Academy. And, you know, is it really making a difference kind of thing? And like, that's just ridiculous talk. It's like, it's a start. We've started somewhere. We're creating these strong women who are just as good. And they then need to be, you know, trained and given the opportunities. And it may not be the Dorian Pan of our current year. You know, it may be 5 years down the road of another woman coming through that's, you know, 12 now or whatever, but the opportunity needs to be there, and we just need to keep moving and looking forward and finding ways.
Agree.
Know? And like, it's great to see Dorian Pan in a Mercedes Formula One car.
Yeah, and you know, like, 100% hats off to Susie Wolf for getting the ball rolling and getting this started and keeping it going, because I started with a W Series and that didn't really land, did it? It didn't quite work, and now it's become, you know, F1 Academy, which is. It's just a brilliant platform, and she's attracted new sponsors and whatnot.
Yeah.
I did see a clip, I think it might have been David Coulthard, who said that for a young driver to go through karting, all the different formulas up to Formula One, the family's looking at an investment of $8 million.
Yeah. That's the other thing we haven't talked about. Yeah.
Money.
No, this is, it's crazy. It really is crazy. I was talking to a driver, an Irish driver, Kelsey Kirby, who's part of Motorsports Ireland. She's our new development officer. She's lovely. And she was telling me, like, even just in the series that she was in, or the kind of the stuff that she was doing, like, I think, God, how much did she say? I think it was like 18,000 or whatever that she had to get together for that race that she had coming up or something like that. It was just crazy kinds of money for just something. And she's not in any of the formulas. This was, but it's just like the money we're talking about is crazy.
Yeah, motorsport is crazy expensive. It's crazy expensive. All right. Well. Now, don't forget, you've got to get your predictions in for Miami for the sprint and for the race. I haven't even really given it a lot of thought, to be honest. I'm going to put you on the spot. Just maybe 1, 2, 3 of the race. Who do you think?
I mean, I honestly have no clue because let me think. So Ferrari are bringing updates, which I think is kind of crazy. To bring updates when you haven't raced in 5 weeks. I know Mercedes are not bringing updates till Canada. Am I right thinking that Red Bull was also testing the Macarena wing, the one that you know? So if Ferrari do well, then it could be Ferrari. Oh, you know, we haven't talked about it. So if Ferrari do well, it could be Ferrari 1-2. I don't think you can count out Mercedes personally. I don't think that things have changed that much. But also the new regulations, we haven't talked about that really quickly. Hang on now, let me see. I have to admit, guys, I don't understand the regulations. So it'll be interesting to see what we'll be talking about next week. But basically the boost has been capped. The boost available has been capped at 150 kilowatts, is that right? and then the maximum permitted energy recharge has been reduced from 8 megajoules to 7 megajoules, is that right?
Yeah, break that down in layman's terms, like just to explain what it means is that I've got no idea. Like, it's okay, all of these numbers in kilowatts and megajoule, whatever, like, what does that mean to the normal person? Yeah. Does it mean that, you know, people like in the Franco Colapinto situation of, you know, Japan, that when he's super clipping, he won't be going as slow? I've actually also seen, I think it was Toto Wolff that came out and said that was a misjudgment from both drivers rather than a result of super clipping. Of course, you know, Ollie Bearman ran into the back of Franco Colapinto and had that massive off and a 50G crash at Japan. So that's what we're talking about. Anyway, we'll see these new regulations in place for Miami, and also in qualifying, they've changed something as well, haven't they? The FIA, that there's more power, more battery power, I think. With the qualifying, I think what they've changed, it means that drivers can go flat out for longer without having to lift and coast and harvest. the technical terminology. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to Miami. I'm just really looking forward to a race again. It's been five long, hard weeks. It's been fun. Like, I've been interviewing guests for the podcast, so I feel like I've been having lots of Formula One conversations in this break. But yeah, it'll be good to see cars on track again.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait. Can't wait. And as we mentioned, it's a sprint weekend, so lots to enjoy. It's going to be interesting. And I'm for predictions, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because for me, it feels like we're going in blind. Like, I don't know what the teams have been really doing. I think George is going to want to prove himself again. He's going to want to be up there. He's going to want to win, obviously. But like, it's really important that he makes that statement and he doesn't let Kimi get ahead of him. But if Ferrari have been busy squirreling away, they had like a filming day in Maranello, they're going to want to be up there as well. So I don't know. And then Red Bull, I don't know. What's McLaren been up to? What do you think? Yeah, sorry, what do you think?
Oh, I'm just going to pull one out of the bag. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton's going to win Miami. And why not? Like, maybe his girlfriend will be there, her first appearance at F1 track, and he might want to impress her. Who knows? I don't know. But I would love to see Lewis finally win a race after all this time. I'm like you, going in blind, but you're going to have to make a decision and put it in the pick the podium game and the Formula Live Pulse prediction game. So don't forget, download Formula Live Pulse. They've had loads of updates and you can follow all the races on there. It's free, 7-day trial. You don't need a credit card. You don't need to put your details in. And then when it does come to payment, it's pretty cheap. It's the cost of like a coffee a month. So
lots of data on your hands. Yeah.
That's right. Your best second screen companion. And if you're an investor listening to this, Formula Live Pulse, looking for partners and investors.
Yes.
And so is this podcast, actually. We're looking for partners as well. We've got a couple of openings. So, yes, if you'd like to get involved and help support a creator or an innovator in Kira and Simone in Formula Live Pulse, please get in touch. Yeah, all right, everybody. I think that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you very much, Kira. So good to chat with you again and just cover some of the happenings that's been in the last 5 weeks in the world of Formula One. Guys, if you've liked what you've heard, please rate and review the show. Please subscribe. Hello, if you're watching on YouTube, you can email us at hello@awaywegopodcast.com. Get your predictions in. Don't forget, until next week and until lights out.
Are you ready? It's lights out and away we go.
Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto.